Actually, I'll be going in July to Israel and be living in Israel for a couple of months before we come back in mid-September. And the beginning of July is where we will have our Israeli wedding service. We actually met when on the tour last year when Celebrate Messiah did the tour to Israel. I was actually in Israel at the Garden Tomb and took time off there to join the tour. And with a bit of brokerage here and there, Anna and myself found each other. And she's now convinced me that move over here to Melbourne. Not say there's any great persuasion attached to that, but seems like I'm moving this direction, which means I cut my motorcycle time down by about two-thirds due to the weather here, which is very sad. But I have forgiven her for that, and we'll continue with that. But in the beginning of July is where we'll have our first Israeli wedding and then come back to have one over here. I want to give a message that actually dropped in my heart last week during the service and while Lawrence was speaking and beforehand. And I want to bring it out of Numbers chapter 13 and verses 1 to 3. So let's get straight into it. Might help if I turn my little recorder on here. It says there, Adonai said to Moshe, "Send men on your behalf to reconnoiter the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each ancestral tribe, send someone who is a leader." Notice these were not people who were, we don't know what to do today. These were leaders of their tribes. Moshe dispatched them from the Paran Desert, as Adonai had ordered. All of them were leading men among the children, among the people of Israel. And then it says, Moshe sent them to reconnoiter the land of Canaan, instructing them, go up to the Negev, into the hills, and see what the land is like. Notice the people living there, whether they are strong or weak, few or many, and what kind of country they live in, whether it's good or bad, and what kind of cities they live in, open or fortified. See whether the land is fertile or unproductive, whether there's wood in it or not. Finally, be bold enough to bring back some of the fruit of the land. When they left it, it was the season for the first grapes to ripen. And then in chapter 13, verse 27, it says, this was their report to Moshe. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and indeed, it's a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. They had brought back one big bunch of grapes. But, there's always got to be a but. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw, drum roll please, the giants there, the descendants of Anak. The large, the Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, all the otherites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quieten the people as they stood before Moshe and said, let us go immediately and take possession of the land. He said, we can certainly conquer it. But that's where it comes, but the other men, the 10 men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are. And so they spread this evil report about the land among the people of Israel. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who tries to live there. Or the people we saw were huge. We even saw the giants there. Second time they've mentioned that. The descendants of Anak. Next to them, note what it says there, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. There's no record of them talking to the giants. We felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. Abba, we ask that you would help us to understand your word and apply your word into our daily life and into the life of Beit HaMashiach. We ask, B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Let's try this. Is that better? Right. Yay! It's the time of Pesach. We remember deliverance of our people from Egypt. And it's even said every year that each generation, and each year we must see ourselves as being personally delivered out of Egypt. You understand that concept. You've been to Pesach before. And the blood of the Pesach lamb enabled that final plague over Pharaoh that brought about the release. And the blood of Yeshua, our Pesach lamb, also enables our deliverance from our sin and from the resultant death penalty. We know this. We be through it every year. And in Yeshua, we are freed from the Egypt of our sins and past living as enemies of Adonai. But have you entered into God's full promise for you, the promise of a land of milk and honey for you? Has Beit HaMashiach fully entered into what God has promised for us? We've been freed by Yeshua's atonement, but are you living in Yeshua's freedom? And what I want to bring to you today is out of this, probably a prophetic word for some of you, but certainly even for our whole congregation here. God wants us to join into his covenant promises that he's made to us and receive his promises. Promise-making God, promise-keeping God. That's what our God is. And to not only us personally, but to Beit HaMashiach. Understand, God is not the problem in our lives attaining to all that God has for us. We are the problem. Because so often we're like those 10 leaders, those 10 spies, and we have a grasshopper complex. What's a grasshopper complex? Thank you for asking. A grasshopper complex is where you see yourself and God as the size of a grasshopper compared to the huge giant size of our problems, our situations, the issues we face in our daily life. We can either walk in God's promises of giant killers or walk in defeat with a grasshopper complex. It's our choice. We're given either way that we want to do. Chapter 13, verse 1, Adonai wanted to give his promised land to Avram's descendants. It was his wedding gift to our forefathers. And the leaders were sent from each tribe to see how they could go out and take possession of God's inheritance, God's promise, God's blessing. It was never sent to ask if we should take it, but sent how we should take it. And we find there that all the leaders came back and they'd all seen the same thing. They'd seen how great the land was. They'd seen how great the fruit was. They'd seen that all of God's promises about a land flowing with milk and honey were true. And verse 23 says they brought back one cluster of grapes and they needed two people to carry it. I don't know how big those grapes were, but I wish I could get into them. They all saw the enemies that Adonai was going to defeat just as he had just defeated with the gods of Egypt. But, there's always a but. But 10 leaders saw themselves, felt themselves as small as grasshoppers to the size of the giants of the problems. They projected their self-feelings onto the giants and said, that's how the giants saw us. Did you stop to ask the giants that's how they felt? Did you inquire of them? No, they projected what they were feeling onto the giants. The good thing, we can have a positive but. But two leaders, Joshua and Caleb, saw the giants as yet another opportunity where they could see God's miraculous power, just like they saw coming up out of the land of Egypt. And they said, we'll have them for lunch. That's what the text says. We'll have them for lunch. See, they all should have said, wow, giants, look how big they are. It's going to be fun watching our God take them down. Because that's what they saw down in Egypt. Chapter 14, verse 1 to 4, these 10 leaders infected the nation's vision to the extent they now wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to be slaves again under the bondage of Pharaoh and Ra, the sun god. It's better to be there under bondage than face what we're about to face. They were about to reverse the effect of Pesach. They wanted to reverse the blood of the Pesach lamb. They chose to have a grasshopper complex and become vision killers rather than being the giant killers that they were called to be. That's why this is called an evil report. Grasshopper complex is evil because it looks at the situations that we face from a natural human way rather than looking at it from God's perspective. Grasshopper complex says, I can't do this. We can't do this corporately as a congregation, not even with God's help. It says that this situation is too big. The problems I'm facing is too big. I just want to quit and give up. Beit HaMashiach has got a solid growing vision to reach Jews and Gentiles that standard congregations don't reach. They do a great ministry, they do a great work over there, but we are called to do a distinctive ministry here. Could you say amen to that? Our rabbi and leaders have looked at this area and says, this land is ours. This is our promised land. We will possess it regardless of whatever giants come our way. We will have this land. They have the heart of Caleb. They have the heart of Joshua. But Beit HaMashiach needs giant killers to rise up and overcome the many giants that we face in doing this task. Because we will get opposition. As we have in the past, it will happen more in the future. As the influence of Beit HaMashiach begins to grow, there will be more opposition. That's where we need giant killers, not grasshoppers. We need those to come behind. Also, what about the lands that Adonai has personally promised you to possess? The realms of ministry that he's called each one of us to do. Because it's not about those up the front here, but we believe in team ministry where everybody has got a covenant calling to walk out before Adonai. What's your excuse why you don't do yours? God's called us all to do that. Grasshopper complex denies the power of God, the protection of God, the purpose of God, and then also the provision of God. First of all, we're going to look at the power of God. The grasshopper complex looks at the size of the problem, the size of the situation, instead of looking at God's power. That is evil in God's eyes. Grasshopper complex denies that God is able to overcome the giants of problems that we face in our home, in our work, or even in the congregation of Beit HaMashiach. Their grasshopper complex denied God's power that they'd already experienced coming in the whole process of the Exodus, overcoming the 10 main gods of Egypt, coming up out of the land of Egypt through the sea, seeing Pharaoh's armies being defeated, coming all the way through to Sinai where they had that amazing encounter with God. They had already seen this. They'd already seen and experienced this. But now they say, no, God's not big enough for these guys. These are bigger than our God. They denied the power of God. That's why Adonai said to Moshe there in chapter 14 and verse 11, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the signs I've performed amongst them? Why is it, folks, that we go through blessing after blessing after blessing and then a new challenge comes our way and we think, oh, no, I can't do this one? Why is it that we have to get ourselves to believe again for every new challenge that we face? That's because every new day there's a new battle to keep us keep focusing on Adonai. We've got to go each day to get a new game plan for everything we're facing that day. We can't live on yesterday's manna. We need a fresh revelation each day. And I want to encourage you, begin to get fresh revelation for your life and for that of Beit HaMashiach. See, in the Bible, it's not the size of army versus size of army. It's the size of God versus size of God. It wasn't the size of the giants they were worried about. They're thinking, oh my goodness, their gods must be bigger than our God. They can't get that slave mentality of defeat out of their mind. We've got to rise up and believe our God is greater than anything we're going to face, as a congregation or personally. Verse 33, they saw themselves first as grasshoppers. We felt like grasshoppers. Well, what about your God? You think he's a grasshopper? That's what their accusation actually means. We felt like grasshoppers means we believe our God is a grasshopper size versus the size of the giants. They were self-defeating. Yet when you get into Joshua chapter 2, Rahab tells us there
that the giants had been melting in fear for 40 years because they had heard about what God had done with the gods of Egypt and how he defeated Pharaoh's army in the sea and how he'd open up the way for them to go. And at Sinai, they'd heard about it and they were melting in fear. The giants did not have a grasshopper. So they were the ones with the grasshopper complex, not the people of Israel. God had done it. They had heard it and they believed. Israel had seen God do it and they still doubted. Grasshopper complex says Beit HaMashiach is not able to achieve the vision of Rabbi Lawrence and the leaders. It's too big for us. It's too big for God. Grasshopper complex looks at our finances, our problems, our jobs, our family issues, our doctor's reports, everything negative, and says, but God can't do this. That's out of God's power. Do you think the giants you're facing in your personal life are greater than Adonai's power? If so, you're living in a self-imposed bondage of Egypt instead of living in Yeshua's power. But God. Two words must go together. Not but can't. No, it's but God. God's power is here to empower you to overcome the giants in your life and that of Beit HaMashiach. I can tell story after story of those who experience God's power over evil reports given to them. But God. We need to be like David, who's able to say there in 1 Samuel 17:47, we sang it before, the battle is whose? Say it again, the battle is whose? It's not ours. It's not yours. The battle is the Lord's. If he has said this land is ours, we will possess this land. Why? Because the battle is? That's what it comes down to. And one thing I find, God always wins. If you're with God, you're on the winning side. You need to be able to say, God's power, I'm not a grasshopper. By God's power, I'm a giant killer. Amen? Protection of God. Grasshopper complex denies that God is able to protect us from the effects of the giants and the problems that we face in our lives. Grasshopper complex people are always vision killers. I have the privilege of speaking in so many different congregations. Every weekend, I'm often in a different congregation, and guaranteed after a service, someone's going to come up and tell me about the problems of that congregation. I don't want to hear it. I just want to go at times, na, 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 na. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear from vision killers. I want to hear from those who have faith and belief in God. Grasshopper complex forgot God's protection in Egypt and how God destroyed Pharaoh's army in the sea. Chapter 14, verse 9, God's protection was with Israel. The giants were the ones without protection. And the thing is, the giants knew that. The people of Israel didn't know it. Joshua chapter 2, verse 9, the giants were melting in fear, Rahab said. They knew what God could do. Israel should have known because they had seen it and experienced it. The giants had only heard about it. See, fear and unbelief in God's protection stopped those with a grasshopper complex from possessing God's promised land and infected the whole nation. Fear and unbelief of our giants, our life situations, stops us from living in God's protection, and we will face defeat with the grasshopper complex. Sure, we're going to face problems on our own personal lives and congregational life. Welcome to planet Earth. But God is greater, is stronger, is more powerful. Our God, who art Adonai. The Lord will protect us from harm from giants, and we will inherit God's promises, both personally and for Beit HaMashiach. Over and over again, we see this in the scriptures. Grasshopper complex denies the purpose of God, that God's purpose of land promised to Avram as a refuge place for his people. That continues to this day. God promised that God's people will be living in God's land and able to daily live out God's ways. Grasshopper complex sees the problems, the giants, bigger than God's purposes and seeks to reverse God's purpose. That's why it is evil. Chapter 14, verse 3. Why has the Lord taken us out of this country only to have us die in battle? Where did God say that's what I'm doing? I'm taking you out to give you the land of milk and honey. I'm not bringing you out to die. If I'd have left you there, you'd have died. I brought you out to have it. And then they whinged and kvetched again. Our wives and our little ones will be carried off from us as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Grasshopper complex rather lives as slaves under bondage than live in God's ways under freedom. Grasshopper complex denies God's purpose by seeing that purpose as insignificant and not worth the effort. Grasshopper complex likes to have it all given to them. But when it says, okay, time for you to step up and start doing something, oh no, I can't do that. How many times have I found in running congregations, I said the service beforehand, I've now been in ministry for 40 years. How many times have I found people in congregation want it all done for them? Give me, I need, give. But would you like to do something? Oh no, I can't do that. I can't do anything. We're just looking for someone to help. Serve tables at Pisa. Oh no, I can't do that. Why not? Let's rise up and be the army of God, not the wimps of God. I was expecting an amen then. Verse 11 that we'd read before, how long will God's people treat God's purposes with contempt? When we reject God's purpose in our lives, we are actually rejecting God. We're placing ourselves outside of God's promises and God's blessing. We become self-defeating and we wonder why God's not moving in our lives. It's not because God is the problem, it's because we are. We have said God's not big enough to move in our lives. The grasshopper complex focuses on the magnitude of cost rather and the magnitude of the effort rather than God's purpose to bring us into the possession of his promises. Folks, there is a time, a cost in time, in our tithes, in our talents. But the purpose of God is for you to live in his covenant promises. We will see God's purposes for Beit HaMashiach and for our lives. And we will defeat the giants that seek to stop God's purposes. Be on the journey with us. Amen. Fourth. The provision of God. The grasshopper complex denies that God is able to provide what he promised. And when God does provide, the grasshopper complex despises that provision if that means they actually have to do anything. They have to do any work. Chapter 13, verse 27. This was their report to Moshe. Yet we entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful land. A land flowing with milk and honey, and it is the type of fruit it produces. But the people. Notice it doesn't say but God, but the people. It looks at the problem, but the problem. They are powerful. Their towns are huge and large and fortified. We even saw the giants there, the descendants of Anak. They saw the provision of a land flowing with milk and honey, but focus on the difficulties to obtain God's promises. See, when God gives us promises to possess in our personal lives or in congregational life, it is not automatic. We want it to be automatic. Oh, that it would be automatic. But God says, no, you will play a part in this. You are my army and you will go to war. But the battle is mine. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We have to fight for the promises of God. I grew up on a farm. We had 2,000 acres. We had 2,000 sheep. They are the dumbest animals that God ever put breath into. And God says it, you're the sheep of my pasture. That is not a compliment. They take a lot of looking after. Oh my goodness, Lord, please. I also learnt that milk does not come from a shop. Milk comes from a cow. And cows kick and they do all kinds of weird things. We had a cow that every time we go to milk it, you'd have to watch both ends of the cow, the head and the tail, because the cow had two tricks. It kept looking around to see how full the bucket was that you were milking the cow. And as you're milking the cow, you'd watch it because sooner or later it gets about half full to three quarters full. The cow had two tricks. Pick up the foot and put it straight in the bucket. And so had to get ready to get the bucket out of the way. It was an ornery cow. It didn't like being milked. The other trick it had, you had to watch the tail, because sometimes instead of putting the foot in the thing, it lifted up the tail and you had chocolate milk. Again, you had to get the tail bucket out the way in a hurry. They charge you. Then they are big animals and they know they're bigger than you and they will do what they want to do. You want to get them go that way. If they want to go this way, you can't stop them. It's easier to buy milk. But God says, I'm going to give you a cow. My brother had the smart idea one day of let's make some honey. Great, let's get in the car, that meant to me, and go into town and get honey. Not for him. He meant bees. Have you ever been stung by a pack of bees? That's not fun. I let him do all that. I ate the honey afterwards because it's easier. I let him get stung. I like watching my brother getting stung by the bees. It was enjoyable for me. Come on, you want to see your own brother stung by a few bees. See, if it's effort, they didn't want to do it. They wanted God's automatic provision. They enjoyed the manna, they enjoyed the quail, the water from the rock, their clothing and shoes not wearing out, which I know some women would find that horrible, that they didn't have shoes that wore out and clothing they couldn't buy. But understand that the provision of manna and quail and clothing is provision under punishment. That's boring. Folks, it's time to grow up. It's time to start acting as God's partners with God's provision to possess God's promises for Beit HaMashiach and for our own lives. God's power, God's protection, God's purpose empowers us that we can then fight for God's provision. And we need to see a provision of promises is exceedingly good and it's worth the fight. It's going to cost, but it's worth it. It's worth it. See, grasshopper complex denies the power of God, the protection of God, the purpose of God, and the provision of God. How do we overcome? Simple. We need the perspective of God. The perspective of God. We've got to be like Caleb and Joshua. We've got to see God's perspective. How does God see the giants? God knew the giants was there. Was he worried about the giants? Was he worried about the stones, gods and idols that these giants fell down and bowed before? Did that worry the God, the creator of heaven and earth? He looked at them and laughed. Joshua puts it in perspective. Sure, the giants are big, but God is with us and he's bigger. Numbers chapter 14, verse 8, Joshua and Caleb said, if Adonai is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land, flowing with milk and honey. They saw the cows, they saw the bees and said, they're ours. Don't rebel against Adonai. When we become a grasshopper complex, we are rebelling against Adonai. We're having contempt for him. Don't be afraid of the people of the land, because they're our bread. We'll have them for lunch. We need to be able to do that, like, bring it on. Bring it on. This is going to be a good battle, because it's one we'll win. Why? Because the battle is whose? The Lord's. They have no protection. Adonai is with us. Don't be afraid of them. Almost implied, be afraid of Adonai. You know, you can either upset humans or you can upset God. One of those has eternal consequences. One of those might have a day or week or maybe a month consequence. God said it, then it will happen. He is not a liar. He is a promise-making God, a promise-keeping God, a covenant-making God, a covenant-keeping God. The giants are our bread. We'll have them for lunch. They are stronger, but God is stronger than them. That makes us stronger than any giants we face. Live on the wild side, folks. Go after the promises of God and be a giant killer. There are giants and excuses that we have for why we don't follow the ways of God, where we lose Adonai's perspective. So many people come up with that. So many people bring that up. We'll get it there sooner or later. So many times I've heard people say, I don't have sufficient finances to that. Building programs, we don't have sufficient programs. Finances, One of my friends knew he was called by God to go into ministry. And he hesitated going because he was on a very high-paying job. How will I afford my house payment? How will I afford to cover this? How will I afford to cover that? And I said, step out and see what God does. And after a year of stepping out into ministry, I came up to him and said, how's it going financially? He said, I can't believe it. He said, I no longer see the big money coming in, but I haven't missed one payment. I haven't missed one mortgage. Some people come, oh, I'm too old, I'm too young. Jeremiah said, I'm too young. God said, no, you're not. Some others have said, oh, I'm too old. God said, I haven't finished with you yet. Some people say they don't have the ability. Look at the number of people in the Bible said they couldn't do it. Even Moshe, I can't speak. I'm not calling you to speak. I'm just calling you to get out there and lead my people out of Egypt. I didn't call you to be the great orator. Besides, you got Aaron. He can speak for you. Some people let their health stop. Look at Rav Shaul. It's commonly scholars will say he was not a healthy dude. He had health problems. Didn't stop him. He continued going out. Friends and families and relationships. I can tell endless stories of people who let them become grasshopper complex rather than those who went out and become giant killers. My family will oppose me. My friends will make fun of me. I can't do this. I need to bury first my father. So many stories. Skill sets. Oh, I don't have the skill set to do that. Can you clean the toilet? I always tell students the way to the pulpit is through the toilet. I tell them if you're going to graduate with your bachelor, your master's, your doctorate degree, great. It's not going to scare the devil. He's seen them before. I want to put something needed because you need equipment and training, but that alone won't. I want to put something in your other hand that will scare him with both combined, and that's this hand with your award, and that hand I want to give you a dunny brush. Because then you'll become a fearsome weapon in God's hands. I don't have the skill set. Amos said, I'm not a prophet, but he still went out and became a prophet. The disciples, I'm just a fisherman. Well, they went out to become the apostles. It changed the world. Too busy at work? Oh, I can't. Don't have time. I don't have time. Yeah, well, the disciples left their nets. Others stayed doing the tent making like Paul and still went out and did it. The number of times over the years I saw people come into Bible college, God's called me, they came up with the prayer, they came up with the prophetic word. Sometimes it later became a pathetic word. They came up with the three dreams, the angelic visitation about how God's called them into ministry. Over and over for 20 years I saw this. Then they went to their boss to say, I'm quitting, I'm going to go to Bible college because I'm called into ministry. And the boss gave them the promotion, the new car, the salary, and all this stuff. And they, oh, I'll come later. I'll just go for 1 year. I've been praying for this so much. God's given it to me. They'll come back later. You know, all those years of running a Bible college, I tear up their application, I put it in the bin. Not once did I take it out. Not once did I have to say, could you fill in the form again? Because they made their decision and became a grasshopper rather than a giant killer. Over and over again. The provision. One of my friends, again, he was one of the upper middle management about to go into senior management of Singapore Airlines. Huge salary, huge influence, amazing influence that he's having. And God said, I want you to give it all up and go become a pastor. No, God. And he struggled for several years with it. And God made it more and more increasingly aware, this is what I want you to do. And he had to believe God would provide on a minimum salary of a small congregation. And God did. He never looked back. Over and again. See, we've got to be like Caleb, Joshua chapter 14, verse 12. He's 85 years of age and Caleb goes up to Joshua and says, give me this mountain. If you read the text carefully, that's the mountain where the main giants were on that 45 years before all those other leaders had said, we can't take that mountain. I had this feeling once that Caleb had gone for 45 years saying, that mountain, that's my mountain. I want my mountain. Give me my mountain. My mountain. Give me my mountain. I want my mountain. Where my mountain? It's my mountain. I want my mountain. He'd have been annoying to live with. We could have had that mountain. You blew it. We could have. It's my, I want my mountain. My mountain. Give me those. Give me those. Mountain. I'm a giant killer. Come on. I want to see you taken down. And he takes the mountain at 85 years of age. Do we have giant killers here today? Do we have giant killers here today? God is with us. Amen. Can we possess this land? Well, that's a real wimpy reply. Can we possess this land? Can we get behind the vision of our rabbi and say, we will possess this land? Well, this side over here is really excited over it. Are we willing to be like Caleb? See, Caleb is actually a Hebrew word that means forcible. We've got to take it by force. Not just wait for it to come. We've got to go out and hunt down that cow. And cows sometimes don't want to be. I know of one of our neighboring farmers whose cow was run away from him all the time. He actually got a motorbike so he could chase the cow down to get the cow to bring it back in to get milked. Sometimes we need to chase the cow down to milk it because it's not going to come automatically. It's not like calling a dog. Here, Rover, and it comes to get fed. No. Or like a cat that wakes you up in the middle of the night to get fed. No, the cow earned that milk and wants to keep the milk. Are there people here who are willing to go out and get the cow? Are there people here willing to go out and become a giant killer and get the honey from the bees? God wants us to do this. God wants us to step out. What about your own personal situation? Are you willing to rise up like Caleb and become the giant killer for the promises that God has called you personally to have? Because he didn't call you just to come to the congregation to sit and be entertained every week. He called you to be a giant killer. He called you to be involved. This is Pesach season. We remember even the words of Yeshua, take up your comfort, take up your cross and follow. See, the one taking up the old Roman cross knew in those days their life was over. There's no plea bargaining, there's no negotiation. It's not a fact of adding Yeshua and stirring to make our life a bit more pleasant. It's ending the old way and willing to step into the new way where we can be like Rav Shaul. I am now crucified with Messiah. It's no longer the life I used to live, but the life I now live. I live by faith in Yeshua, who gave himself for me. Are you willing to be a giant killer, or are you willing to be the grasshopper? Let's pray. Abba, Father, we ask that you would enable us, empower us, strengthen us, that we'd rise up in our vision, both individually and corporately as a congregation, and possess this land. Possess the land of our own lives and callings that you're calling each of us into. Possess the land of Caulfield and of the surrounding neighborhood, the surrounding area, where we will see, Lord, your land possessed, the giants defeated, your name glorified, exalted, praised, and adored throughout this land, and Yeshua, who at HaMashiach, resonating out throughout this community, that your name would be praised, that your name be glorified, that Yeshua will truly be the Mashiach of this region. We give you thanks in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Let's ask the team to come up. If you need prayer for your personal areas that you're struggling with, feel free to come down the front and pray. Let's all stand. If you don't know Yeshua is your Messiah, please come down and let us pray for you. We want to pray with you. If you're struggling in some areas of your life, willing to step out in faith, please come down. If you need to make a bigger commitment to say,